Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
I said we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Where... Shut up,
cram
shut,
it!
Shut up right now!
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake!
I swear to God, I will go over...
You!
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there. Welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. Happy podcast day.
Woo-hoo.
Everything is good on podcast day because the rest of the time it is kind of a bummer. And as we say every single week, like, holy shit, look at all the things that happened in the last week.
It just keeps happening, the stuff.
Well, before the show, just moments ago, we were saying that we need to start a little more detailed list now that things are happening so quickly, because we have to keep going, wait, okay, this time last week, had the following shit show befallen us? No. So what about that?
Yes. When did this atrocity occur?
At what point did that gremlin fall from the sky and attack us at the throat?
I don't recall this turd being in the punch bowl. That's a new one.
I mean, so... You made a very good point. Well, you make many good points, Hupke. But one point that you made prior to the show today is that we kind of are at a moment where the temptation is going to be to just scream the whole show. And I mean, scream like kind of how we did in high chairs when we were children, just wail.
Yes, exactly.
Out of just frustration. Because there's so much, and it's easy to feel worn down by all the things now.
Just
but I think now we have to fight even harder and push back even harder with clarity and fact and all of those things.
Yes, and not forget, because everything's getting run over. Like, consider the last, this is Wednesday we are recording this. Tuesday was Betsy DeVos being made the education secretary. Then it was Elizabeth.
It's kind of like a chill.
And as if that weren't. But then it was Elizabeth Warren being silenced on the Senate floor while reading a letter from Coretta Scott King.
Shit got real last
night. Right, which, you know, caused a major uproar,
which
as
we
well
talk
it
about,
should have. Yeah,
some,
we'll get to all these things.
There's
but
some nuances to that I want to discuss.
Right, and then, you know, that there's still the refugee stuff going on. There was the hearing last night in front of the Ninth Circuit about the executive order banning refugees and immigrants and all that sort of stuff. Not exactly
human beings.
Right, whatever. And whatever. Not whatever human beings. I mean, whatever and how I'm describing it.
No,
you get what I'm saying. And then today there was Trump again talking about, you know, terror and blood in the streets and the whole universe collapsing in on itself. And then Trump tweeting about Nordstrom's doing away with his daughter's line of clothing, etc.
You went super Midwestern on that. The Nordstroms.
Did I? Oh, I didn't even know that. Look what's happened to me. I used to be a...
Go to the Jewels.
I used to be an East Coaster, and now I've become better.
Over there by the Nordstroms here.
Yeah. So down at the Nord... They got rid of Ivanka's stuff. down at Nordstrom's.
You know, she's like making a lingerie line.
Yes.
But which, let me just sidebar on that for a minute. Ain't no way I'm putting Ivanka Trump fabric on my lady parts.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna happen. Also, I saw some photos of some of said lingerie.
Not good.
How
shocking.
Like,
not classy?
It's not like trashy. It's not like, you know, it's not like freaky deaky like Fredericks of Hollywood or, you know, anything like that. It's, or like collars and shit. It's just like, I don't know. I in my mind, after I saw it, I put it out of my mind, but then like what remains in my mind sort of was like a, like what one would wear if they were going to do some role playing with a sailor suit. Like that's what was left. But that is neither here nor there. This is Guth and Hupke on politics, not lingerie.
That is for our other podcast, Guth and Hupke on lingerie.
The worst podcast in the world.
Not listened to by many people.
This week in granny panties. Jesus Christ, Rex. Here's the thing. We got to focus.
Right, but that was the point, though. I think we just became what we were trying to talk about, which is that the stuff is rolling so quickly, and you get mad, and you zip
and it wears
off
you out.
Right, and like it's exhausting. Yeah. And then you forget about what the hell happened a day ago, or in our case, a week ago. Good Lord. It's
well,
impossible.
Not only do you forget, but you get punchy, because it's like, because we're just jumping from outrage to outrage at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to know which thing to pick.
And I'm starting to kind of think we need to hold back on the outrage. Not starting to think. I've kind of long thought this. Let's hold back on the outrage because all of this shit is outrageous right now.
Right.
So like, I almost know, like, feeling the way I feel right now, where it's like, God damn it, another thing. God, it keeps coming. I'm starting to feel like I don't have the luxury of outrage.
I think it has to be measured.
Yeah, so I got to spend the time. If I got the choice between feigning outrage, expressing outrage, writing a letter to a representative, I'm going to spend that time writing that letter.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it, I think. And because outrage leads to things that then get used against us. So, for example, people get outraged and then they take to the streets and then they do something dumb. And then that becomes, oh, these leftist mobs or blah, blah, blah. And it gets used against you. So
I got nothing against going taking to the streets.
No, me neither. But I'm saying when it goes too far, or somebody says something that then it becomes that something is over the top. All it takes is one person of some notoriety on Twitter to say something extreme about the president. That something that pretty much everybody could agree is not an appropriate thing to say. And then that becomes the focus. And it takes away from all of the other good-natured and well-intentioned outrage. So I think that that's where people have to understand, be angry, be frustrated, but
action has to be attached to
right,
it.
I mean, yeah,
we've said
do
this
something.
Many times.
Yeah, exactly.
That I think sometimes we get stuck in outrage because the reason we express outrage is to bond and feel less alone and less isolated. And then once we feel that we have vented or once we feel we have bonded with another person about it, then we drop it. And that's the issue, is that we do need to bond now. Mm-hmm. And I think feeling isolated is a problem right now. But I think we do need to bond. We do need to, you know, be in our groups and organize and mobilize our groups. But we need to be very careful about that action attached to it.
Yes.
More than ever. I mean, mm-hmm. I've said this for a year, that Facebook activism is just not cutting it.
Yeah.
And it's, frankly, it's irritating, and it feels like I almost said like a place of privilege. It's not that. It's just, it feels just very shallow. It's like, I mean, I saw someone the other day said, I will not stand for da-da-da. Like, oh, really? I won't either. Go fuck yourself. Good for you. Let's go do something about it, shall we? And
yeah.
We're like, but had no measurable solution attached to it.
But I am too busy sitting here.
Busy being outraged.
I can't do the standing.
I have to go to somewhere.
No, but I think but we are seeing, I'm encouraged, though, because I think we are seeing a lot of people actually doing stuff. And you can see that in the amount of resistance that is being put up to the cabinet nominees and just the flooding of lawmaker email boxes and phone banks and this, that, and the other thing. I do think that people are doing a lot. I'm not necessarily everybody, of course. There's still plenty of people that are just sort of speaking their mind and not doing anything with that. But I think that there's encouraging signs. Let's put it this way. I'm seeing a lot more action now than what I saw at any point during the campaign in terms of activism and in terms of people actually doing things that matter and things that will put pressure on people. I mean, a lot of people were completely devastated by the education secretary appointment, but it took the vice president for the first time in history to break a tie in the Senate in order to get her confirmed. So that was no small victory, frankly, that it was we were able to make that incredibly difficult. We were able to take someone who is uniquely unqualified for that job and put enough pressure on the lawmakers that two Republicans said no, and that brought us in that close. So, you know, while not a win in the sense that, you know, the person still wound up in there, it was a good sign of the good that can come from speaking out and from calling lawmakers and from putting on pressure when things don't make sense.
Indeed. Okay, let's talk about Elizabeth Warren. And Rule 19.
Yep.
And all the things that went down there. There's a really interesting piece in the Washington Post. It was posted early this morning by Derek Hawkins that is taking a look at Rule 19. Because when that was mentioned, I think a lot of people were like, wait, what's Rule 19? You know, I think if you're working there, you know obviously what that is. But this is taking a look at really what Rule 19 is all about. It's an old and very, very old and seldom used provision in the rules of the Senate. And it states that senators may not, quote, directly or indirectly by any form of words, impute to another senator or other senators any conduct or motive unworthy or becoming a senator. Basically, don't be a dick, right? Mm-hmm. That's essentially what it's saying.
In which case, all senators have been
in which case,
in
all,
violation.
All y'all yes, bail out. So there's nuances here. There is, you know, immediately I thought, well, fuck this. This is a confirmation hearing.
Yeah.
That rule should apply differently. Further, later, a male was able to read that letter.
Several males. Several males did that today. I called it the has a penis exception.
Which is true.
Yes,
which
all
is
one
exactly
word.
What happened. I'm going to say kudos to Warren for immediately going outside the doors and whipping open a camera and filming herself reading it. It's long. It's about a 15-minute long video, but it's damn important. Side note on that is there's a cover letter attached to the statement. Mm-hmm. And the cover letter, a lot of people are going, oh, this is so powerful. Read the letter. If the thing that you're tweeting and calling powerful is two paragraphs, you've fucked it up and you have not done your research and you're making people look bad.
Yeah.
The thing is long. It's many pages long.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real statement with the guts in it. The cover letter is damning, but it's a damn cover letter.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
So slow your roll. I mean, I immediately just thought, like, God damn it, this is gonna make people look so stupid because people are tweeting the cover letter that just says, like, attached is my summary. I oppose this, da 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 da, from
right.
1986. So tweet the real thing. Read that. It's long. You're not going to want to internet read it. And I know that's a thing people do, is not want to internet read. They'll read a paragraph and go, oh, this is powerful. I'm going to tweet it.
Yes.
I'm pissed at the world today. I got to chill. But anyway, that's a thing. So you got to really read it, not just internet read it. But then also, you know, I think it's fascinating how the statement used against Warren about persistence has become kind of a feminist battle cry. I think that's cool because it's, you know, quite literally subverted the patriarchy with its own words.
It was, and boy, was that swift. I mean, holy cow, that went almost instantly. The language that he used was extremely quickly turned into a hashtag and then a sort of a slogan. And then everybody started, you know, tweeting it along with pictures of all of these various feminists throughout history, and
oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, just it was awesome.
Oh, there are pictures of lots. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really awesome.
Yeah, but I think
let's not focus too. Like, here's the thing. I thought it was a badass move to go outside and whip open a camera and say, "I'm gonna read the damn thing anyway." I think it's great that men went behind and said, "No, I'll read it. You're not gonna stop me," which sucks, but it's great that that happened.
Yeah,
like it sucks that it had to, but great that it did.
You go ahead. I'll come back to that. Yeah.
I'm a little worried that suddenly, like, we're going to look too much at, like, yeah, she's the matriarch of the cause. Yay, Warren. Like, Warren's fine. Warren and I have no beef with Warren, per se. Like, minor things, but nothing big. I don't want to, like, let's not go savior on her. Let's just keep moving forward. We do that. That's the thing I'm talking about. We do that. We, like, jump to a thing like it's a life raft.
Right.
She's not going to save us.
Yeah.
We must save ourselves. That's the thing. We cannot pin our hopes on other people to save us.
Well, and the thing that mattered here is not her and not what they did to her and not what
That's
was
what
said
saying.
Or what
right.
she said. It is the fact that you're trying to keep Jeff Sessions out of becoming the next attorney general for the very clear reasons that were in the letter that Elizabeth Warren was trying to read. So the point,
right.
I totally agree with you. And I think I look up to, I think Senator Warren is great. I think she is a force in the Senate and will be for a long time to come, may very well run for president. I don't know. But that's irrelevant right now.
Right.
What is relevant is...
This is about Sessions' confirmation hearing.
Yes.
That's the issue.
And it's what's important is that people understand Sessions' background and can make their own decision on how they feel about
right.
him.
And you do not get it in the cover letter.
No, right.
Written by Coretta Scott King.
Yeah.
You get it in the actual letter behind that, her actual statement.
Yeah.
And that is that there were some unbelievably racist and douchey and horribly racist doesn't even do it justice.
Right. No, it's horrible.
Like inhumane, horrible things done to suppress, in an attempt to suppress voting.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many of those efforts were in fact successful,
mm-hmm.
where people who then said, you know what, you're not going to get me in a poll. I'm not going through that. I'm not doing that.
Right, and it's happening at a moment. We're considering
this. Did I
say
unsuccessful? I'm going to say successful, many of which were successful.
Right, right. This is happening at a moment where voter suppression is a very big and very legitimate issue. And so that part of his background is incredibly important, and people need to know about it. So I agree with you, and I think that's also, in a way, you know what, we started out talking about outrage and how to direct that. I think we also need to make sure we're careful about how we direct our woohoo, you know, like our sort of when something goes.
There's no time for woohoo.
Right. When something goes right, so to speak, or sort of, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, when that everybody's celebrating because Mitch McConnell's words got turned against him.
No.
And
no,
everybody's
again,
celebrating
that's...
that. And right. I don't. Right. You know, right. That we got to watch that. It's like laugh at, you know, be like, oh, yeah, that's great. OK, now back to work, because that's not the right path to go down at all.
Yeah, any more than a like, holy shit, that's the thing that happened. Anyway, back to this.
Right, yeah. That's why all of these things have to be compartmentalized a bit. And I'm not saying don't laugh when something ridiculous happens or don't scream when something just absolutely horrid happens, but contain it, focus on it, and then find a way to bring yourself back to what needs to be addressed. What's the most kind of pressing thing?
Right, and the issue here is like, you know, there's lots of people going, I want a T-shirt that says that on it. I want, that's the new feminist battle cry. There's a lot of, fine, go do that. But,
yeah.
But like, let us focus on Sessions, who has no business being in politics.
Right. If he's confirmed as Attorney General,
we're fucked.
Your hat with the cool Elizabeth Warren slogan on it is not going to be worth a hill of beans because now we have him. So, and he's probably, I mean, look, very good chance he's going to get confirmed at this rate.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, but nonetheless, you put up every obstacle that you can in that, assuming that you, like I, you know, feel completely opposed to him in terms of his qualifications and whatnot. So, yes, it's a matter of focus, and it's a matter of not letting. And we all do it. I mean, you know, something happens, and you're like, that's, you know, oh my God, that's. I can't believe that just happened, and blah, blah, blah. We kind of run off, and it's a matter of pulling yourself back in.
I've been trying to think about the way I tweet, even, because I know that many people, the people that follow me, do so because they want information, and so I share that information with them in a timely fashion. But I don't want to say, okay, everyone keep your cool. Here's what's happening. Here's what we do next. I can't really, nor should, you know, that's not the thing you do on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But I do, I am careful. I'm careful about what I tweet. I always have been. I just think that we, you know, when I see something of mine being retweeted as, you know, and I'll just go, you know, she's been confirmed or this has just happened. Like here's just this thing that's just occurred. And then I see, you know, 50 retweets on it with comments that are like, you know, ranging everything from like, hell yeah, we did it. Yay, Trump, to, liberal media spreading. I mean, there's so much like mm-hmm. from both sides on there's so much on that side, but then there's so much on the other side that is, you know, that's saying like, I think it's trying to be funny and trying to be, I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm so brain dead over all this, but it's like, I just feel like people are missing the point. Like yes, retweet it and share information. I'm not saying don't retweet me. I'm just saying we need to attach action, but maybe that's the changing moment that we're in the media landscape. I feel like for us to be directing activism is a problem and not quite ethical for us to do. But I think we've got to be clearer because people aren't doing it.
Right. Yeah, I think there's...
People are sharing our things. Like I saw someone like tweeted something you had written and just... It was just in a like a rah-rah way. It wasn't like a, and we must do these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a mixed bag. I mean, I think sometimes there are valuable stories and pieces of information, and especially right now, it's important to push that out.
To push them out, yeah.
So,
and I've said before, like, I will fight this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about fake news. I'm just going to keep sharing facts.
Right.
And I've said that many times.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that they're not landing.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I think it's sort of... when there's just blatant lies and blatant hypocrisy, I want to get that in front of as many eyes as I can. I want people to see that. And because it's both, you know, a vain attempt at convincing some people who maybe don't see it yet that this is happening. And then, but it's also getting people to recognize exactly how serious and completely not normal this all is. And hoping then that that does, in fact, inspire them to say, well, wait a minute. If they haven't already kicked into, whoa, hold on, this is wrong. We got to do something about this mode. Then hopefully they will start to see that. That's why I'm fine with just share, you know, I share all Washington Post stories and all kinds of things that show, you know, factual bumbling and other conflicts of interest and all these kind of different things. But yeah, I mean, I think you also need to remind people that there are things to do and there are things that can be done. You were right. I mean, even as a columnist, I don't feel like it's my job to to tell people, get out there, do the, you know.
I feel like that's problematic.
Right. I mean, I think I can do that to a degree. I think we do that occasionally on the show. And I think that's good. It's like a reminder. But, you know, we're not going to become the, like, organizers of anything. That's up to other people to do. And it's up to...
Not without changing professions anyway.
Right. To become community.
Someone's going to write us in a ballot. Write us onto a ballot eventually. I'm prepared for that. I hope you are too.
Excellent. I will make a fine head of like municipal sewers.
You and I will be fine water commissioners.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, but, whatever, man.
Yeah, but it's just, I think a lot of what, okay, if I just look at what I am trying mm-hmm. to do, and it's hard, and this is something I think about a lot with what I'm writing. And I'm not always consistent by any means because this is just, this is so tumultuous right now. And people knock the media a lot right now. And honestly, I don't think people appreciate how hard this is for the media also. I'm not trying to make this a sob story by any stretch, but like, this is unprecedented. This has never happened. The media does not, oh, damn it. Anyway.
The education secretary is showing up already.
Yes, exactly. We don't know exactly what to do with all this because there is no precedent here. Right. There has never been a president who attacks businesses via Twitter or who lies with such impunity and such regularity that it is borderline impossible to keep on top of.
So, no, it's not borderline. It is actually impossible.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. So what I'm trying to do personally is to sort through the insanity and try to bring at least a little bit of clarity, and trying to do that most of the time with a sense of humor, but you know, try to kind of whittle things down to a holy cow, isn't this dumb, you know, sort of a thing, and get people to hopefully at least recognize that even if you go past any ideology or whatever, you are still talking about someone who's doing something absurd. But it's tough. I mean, and everybody's playing different roles. I mean, you know, there are people writing good serious stuff out there, and you know, I mean, there's great. Look at Jake Tapper right now. Mm-hmm. I think he's just lights out, amazing right now. I mean, at what he's doing to hold people accountable and really grill folks about the truth.
Right, and you're right, exactly right. That's what we can do right now is say, hey, we're being distracted by Elizabeth Warren. The real issue here is Sessions.
Yeah,
you know, we can keep writing about that and talking about that and doing those things.
Yeah, and I think, and it's also just it's a relentlessly hammering home the truth. And we were talking about this before the show too, but the Trump keeps with the executive order on immigration, which again, along with Sessions right now, I would say that's the big thing.
That's a big one. Yeah.
And that's now been before the Court of Appeals, and they'll have a ruling in the next day or so, it sounds like. Huge deal. And the way that, I mean, just remarkably bungled the whole thing and just a mess and impacting a lot of people's lives. That can't be forgotten about just because the airport protests were, you know, a week ago or whatever. So people have to remember that and look at what he's doing. What he keeps doing is saying, because the court suspended my executive order, there are people pouring into this country.
There's nobody pouring in.
And that's just not true. That nobody does that. Nobody pours into this damn country because we have a system in place that takes, if you're lucky, large number of months, often years, in order to process somebody who's an immigrant who's trying to get into this country. If you're a legal resident,
and this whole bullshit,
citizen,
like this extreme vetting, like, again, it is well established that it is very difficult to get refugee status.
It is. And they haven't said what, okay, so what are you going to do that isn't being done? They haven't said one damn word about that. And so, but the thing that, again, the thing that just makes me so mad is that they're trying to stir up fear. They're saying, and he keeps saying it, people are pouring into this country that want to do us harm. This is going to be bad. We're not safe. Bullshit. This is not true. That is absolutely factually incorrect. There are no more people coming into this country right now than there were prior to his executive order or after his executive order gets ruled on. I mean, it's just not the way it works.
And frankly, people are going to want to not be here.
People are going to be pouring out of the country.
People are going to be pouring out. People who were born here and love this country are going to be leaving because it's just, they're like, I'm done. I mean, that joke has been going on for several months. And then it died down after the election. I think there was a lot of like, oh, hell no, mm-hmm. not in my country. It's not. And then, and I mean, just like Trump shenanigans. I don't mean immigration stuff. And it's kicked back up. Like in the last week, I've heard so many people go, yeah, I gotta not be here. This is not good. And I would say, to your point of they're trying to stir up fear, I think they have successfully done so already. As I am making a point to go to things and ask questions of people and ask and get audio of people answering questions about, you know, why are you here? What are you doing? I'm getting so many stories of like relatives who believe things. My own relatives believe that. I have relatives in my family who believe there are people pouring into the country because suddenly this judge's ruling has made people around the world at like the international bad guy convention go, oh, we can get in there now. Great. Let's do this. Ha ha ha. Like and run for the United States, which is such a load of horseshit. And when pushing back on that, it's like, prove it. I'm like, just please don't. I cannot. Please stop.
Well, I mean, let's throw it back then. If people are pouring into the country right now, that's Trump's fault then, if that is in fact happening, which it is not. But if it was happening, I mean, it's like that, then you're doing a terrible job because they weren't pouring into the country before you came into office. So it's just, it's so patently ridiculous. And again, we can disagree. People can support his executive order and what he wants to do. And we can have a debate about that being a good or a bad idea. But people need to at least be able to agree that what he is saying is absolutely false. It is a lie solely intended to get people scared and make them more susceptible to more things that he wants to do.
More fear-mongering.
Right.
However, I believe that the people who initially supported him because they felt like he was saying it like it is, this is playing right in. Like, look at him go. He is telling it like it is. He is doing the things. He is draining the swamp. People are saying this. People have said this to my face. This is a thing that is being said. People who have supported him for a while believe he has only doubled down on his promises.
Oh, yeah. But I again argue that that is a very small percentage of the overall population. And I think what we're seeing now is a much larger percentage of the population than was engaged during the election is going, holy crap, what the heck is this? You know?
Yeah.
And it's both good because it's good to see people standing up and pushing back. It drives me nuts because I want to say, well, hey, where were you in November?
Right.
But regardless, that's kind of irrelevant, I guess. But
only forward looking.
Yes, exactly. But the, yeah, I think the people that just blindly support him, yeah, but that's the thing. That's where this doesn't work, though, in the end, because there are not enough of those people. I'm sorry, but there just aren't. And what he continues to do, and for the life of me, I don't get it. I mean, he could be doing everything he's doing right now in a way that isn't so incredibly divisive and obnoxious. Right. He could still it's like sort of sliding the knife in slowly. I mean, he could be
committing his acts of white supremacy very quietly.
He could, and he could be reaching out, and he could be saying nice things, and he could be taking steps that seem inclusive and not
But why would a white anybody like involved in white supremacy? Why? I mean, I understand the case for doing so sneakily, but not kindly or inclusively.
Right. Well, the inclusiveness part would
simply
be... I'm
going to have dialogue with you so I can trick you and be super racist.
Exactly. No, maybe. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is it like strategically speaking, okay, he won, he's in power, you got the people that love you. They aren't going anywhere. You could set the damn White House on fire and they're going to say, yeah, you know, way to clear the brush or whatever, but... Why would you not work even deceptively to try to lure in other people? Because what you're doing right now is alienating everybody who doesn't abjectly love you.
Well, and we also don't know what we don't know.
Right.
There could be plenty of Decepticon practices happening that we don't even know.
I think he's just trying to make everybody's head explode. And I do think, legitimately,
he's succeeding.
Like what we're talking about today, that what we started out with... That is part of the, I mean, don't for a minute think that that isn't part of this. It's to try to create such complete outrage and such frustration and screaming and running around in circles that everybody just is batshit insane and can't function. So that's, I think, if there's nothing else to fight against that, because I guarantee you that part of what they're doing is intentional to try to scramble everybody's brains and not so we don't know which way is up.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot, again, like we kind of brushed over this, but that constant needed reminder of this is not normal. I think that's so key and so important because even we are inadvertently allowing the bar to move because it's so bananas. Because shit is so crazy. Like, remember... During the debate when he accused Hillary Clinton of taking drugs and we were thinking, wow, in the last debates, can you imagine if that would have happened? That would have been so scandalous, the last presidential election. And now think about that, of him accusing someone of taking drugs seems so small, considering the levels of lies and all the things and all the bullshit coming off his Twitter account on a daily, hourly basis.
I could devote every moment of every day to saying... Imagine if Barack Obama had done this, or imagine if Hillary Clinton was president and had done this. Because, if Obama had tweeted about a business...
Oh, my God.
Holy crap. The earth would have ripped itself apart. It would have been absolute chaos. Not to mention the Russia comment from just a couple days ago, basically trying to draw a moral equivalency between the U.S. and Putin, saying, well, yeah, we got killers here, too. You think we're innocent or something? Holy jeez. I mean, look, all they talked about for 8 years was Obama's apology tour, which wasn't an apology tour. And this guy's comparing us to Vladimir Putin, for God's sake. I mean, it's absolutely, absolutely insane how hypocritical everything is right now. And the fact that it's being tolerated. And, you know, you have a few brave souls out there who are speaking up on the Republican side. And I commend them. And that is, at the end of the day, going to be what has to happen. To tamp some of this down, because you can't have the president of the United States tweeting about a department store because it won't run his daughter's products. I mean,
no,
you can't.
Nor can you. I mean, I also have issues with the this lawsuit, this libel lawsuit against or it wasn't libel. It was a different anyway. This lawsuit recently that Melania has been in the news for,
yeah, mm-hmm.
Right, with her, I missed a once in a lifetime opportunity to essentially I could be making
cash
money
in.
As first lady.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't be more clear what was being said there. And
but that's the thing, like there's a sense of powerlessness that I think is slipping further, like the rope that, or not the rope, the tether of control as a citizen, I think, feels longer every day because there is not anything really, at least not in an immediate and visibly actionable way, to to control that. I mean, he's tweeted about Nordstrom. He's influenced the stock market based on what he's tweeting about his daughter and Nordstrom's decision to not carry her line of stuff anymore. However, we're spending a lot of time with outrage, and there's nothing's actually happening. And I think that's what people are missing and freaking out about and not understanding, that like the ACLU is on it and filing lots of lawsuits and doing lots of things. But I think people are feeling like the tether between my outrage as a citizen and you're still being there. I think that every day that rope gets longer and feels less powerful. And I think that's where people are losing their way. Do you see where I'm going with it? You're making a face at me like, the fuck are you talking about?
No. I understand what you're saying. I don't know if I totally agree. I don't feel like people are... I feel like things are... If anything, that things are picking up. I don't feel like... I feel like the pressure is intense, and I feel like it's...
It's definitely intense.
And I feel like it's continuing. I personally don't see a sign of it ebbing right now. And I think some of that is because people are seeing, at least to a degree, some results. I mean, they're seeing the justice system intervene on in terms of the executive order. They're seeing, again, the it's an empty victory, but the Betsy DeVos thing was, that's a big deal.
That was a big deal, and I don't think people are seeing that. I think people are like, oh, we lost, damn it. So close that Pence had to decide it.
Right. I mean, some are seeing it and some aren't, but I think there's a lot of people that are seeing it that are being vocal enough to let other people know that, hold on, don't get your head down. This is working. And you see a lot of people tweeting and commenting about how the pressure is having an effect and that we have to keep doing it. And frankly, when you're dealing with someone as fragile as he is, good. I think you're getting to, look, he's rattled. There's no way anybody can tell me this guy is not rattled. He's rattled like crazy. I mean, you know, the very fact that the White House is leaking like a sieve.
Oh my God.
Is absolutely crazy. Yeah. And that a lot of that is because a lot of the people in there are like, what in the God's name is going on? I mean, they're leaking, you know, maybe it could be cathartic for them, but whatever the reason, this is not a tight ship right now.
Oh, no.
And he's not clearly in control of anything. And he's gets set off by just the littlest things. And good. You know what? I don't think he's capable of handling this job. And
absolutely
not. So keep up the damn pressure.
You could see that on his face on election night when he came out there, when all the cards fell and he walked out there on election night, he had a look like, holy shit.
Yeah. Right.
I cannot believe this worked. What do I do now? Yeah, what do I do? That's the last time I just like spout my mouth, although that didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do feel like I believe that the pressure is mounting. I believe that the people involved in politics professionally are pushing further and doing more. I'm concerned about the average citizenry. I'm getting the sense from people that people are starting to feel more and more more outraged, but less powerful to influence their own government. I think people are feeling very victimized by the administration and powerless to do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's hard.
Because I think people don't respond to repetition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you've got to keep filling up voicemails and you've got to keep writing letters and postcards. You've got to keep doing those things. It's not a one and done.
Right.
So I think people are like, well, I wrote a letter to my senator and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Like, keep going. Keep that voicemail full and keep faxing and keep doing the things. And I'm enjoying how people are sending receipts of, or like posting receipts of like, I sent a pizza because the voicemail was full, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
You have to keep your foot on the gas. And I think my worry is that people are starting to feel like their voice is getting smaller.
Well, that's where I think it falls to people like us and other people who are fortunate enough to have a voice,
right?
That to keep people going. So, I mean, believe me, I think about it from my own standpoint of,
yeah,
this is exhausting, and
yeah,
I don't want to keep on top of all this stuff because it's making me go bananas.
Well, I think we said last week, like, or 2 weeks ago, maybe, how in the Obama administration, the comment was all about how he was aging rapidly, and I think it will be the reverse. Yeah, it's going to age us.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, this is I have not felt like this before in my lifetime.
No.
About
never.
Anything.
No.
Really. And I'm not, this isn't some sort of trying to elevate myself or you or anybody for that matter, but I
we're pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying, I suppose. But
right.
Make sure you shop the Guth and Upjohn Politics gift store for all your hashtag resist gear.
If only that was a thing.
Right. But I feel very fortunate, and I know you do too, to be able to do the stuff that we do
mm-hmm.
in various formats and whatnot. And so I feel a responsibility to keep pushing about something that I think is existentially important. And so it's part of, I think, part of what we can do and part of what everybody can do is to keep reminding people that what you just said, that they can't take their foot off the gas.
Foot stay on gas. Foot on gas. Good.
I communicate good.
you know, talk good English like I.
You guys know what I'm saying. You got to keep it up.
Right.
And I think that we have to.
Well, that's a good point, though. No, that's good because I've been despairing about this morning about, you know, I'm often, it's anecdotal and it's unscientific, but nonetheless, I'm often combing social media feeds, both of people I am connected to, people I'm not connected to, people that think sort of what I do, people that don't, people that think completely opposite of what I think. I'm always just trying to kind of keep a pulse on things. And I have been despairing all morning of like, wow, people are starting to lament about feeling powerless and feeling like, gosh, I've been writing. I think they're worn down. I think they're tired. I think they're like, we're only a couple of weeks into this and I've written 16 letters to my representatives and I've filled voicemails and I've done the things. Why isn't it working yet? I think we are in an immediate gratification culture, and we need to think of the long game. But that's a good point that you and I and people in our profession, we do have both an opportunity and a responsibility right now to keep people informed and going.
And this is a long. I mean, this is
a long
very
game.
Much a sprint and not a. I mean, very
much a marathon.
Very much a marathon. Oh, man, I should just not speak in any form of. Cliche or colloquialism.
Just say the words, Hefke.
But it is. And even, for example, say that there was an attempt to impeach the president. That's not going to happen quick.
No, that takes so long.
I mean, first of all, he's got to do something. And I think everybody pretty much agrees right now that if he has done something that he could be impeached for, it's not real significant anyway. And it's not a so not that I'm rude. And look, again, I go back to this. Because I really try to we talked about this after the election, and I wrote about it after the election. I am not rooting for this guy I have never been rooting for him to fail. I am just waiting for him to show me a reason why I should think he's going to succeed. You know what I mean? And I have yet to see that. I have yet to see any attempt at any form of moderation or even just general common sense, and that's what's frustrating. But yeah, people have to just hold on, and they have to weather the storm and stay strong and keep focused on what they believe matters. And if you're pro-Trump, then you have your things that you believe matter, and if you're opposed to the things that he's doing and suggesting, then you have your things that matters. But everybody's got to stick to it and find a way to keep from going completely insane.
Right. Along with that, I think as people are sort of starting to feel a little worn out, and I think maybe it's up to us, and I mean us, royal us, all of us in this field, to start talking about the long game a little more.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of theories and what ifs floating around, particularly like what if there's some kind of manufactured terror act just to prove his point? You know, there's no point in worrying about that. There's
absolutely none.
We might as well worry, like, if I cross the street, what if I get hit by a bus? I mean, sure, it seems like, that's probably something they could do. But like, there's no point in worrying about that.
There was
an interesting piece that I found yesterday. It's on lawfareblog.com.
That's really good, actually. I've read a lot of stuff on there lately. Yeah.
There's a really interesting piece that really breaks down that very thing of, you know, well, what if all of that? And what if they are? And it's kind of like, don't worry about it. Like, Nobody knows what Trump is planning but Trump right now. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about that. In fact, it's a bit alarmist, and it will just burn your motor out to think about that. What you can do and what is useful is to decide and think about what is an appropriate response. If something were to happen, what would an appropriate response be from the administration? Decide that now, mm-hmm. when we don't have emotions tied up in something like an event or a casualty or something like that. I recommend it because it breaks that issue down into interesting bullets. They're like, okay, let's be unemotional about this, and let's talk to people who are in fact the opposite of alarmists, and decide now what is an appropriate and measured response to an act of terror or aggression or something like that, and let us say that is the standard, and anything else would be fear mongering or would be exploiting something for their own gain or something like that. I recommend it. It's on my Twitter feed. I wrote, I think the tweet just said, this is an interesting rabbit hole of a read.
Mm, a rabbit hole.
It is a rabbit hole because there's a lot of good information in there. It's pretty well reported. It's good.
But yeah, I think you're spot on because you can spend all day teasing out possible nightmare scenarios. Just as people during the Obama administration, people who hated him spent forever teasing out ridiculous scenarios, none of which ever came to pass. And I realize there's, at least from our standpoint, a difference between then and now. However, I think that the key is to focus, take a breath, step back, mm-hmm. and say, okay, what are the things that are happening right now that are the most significant? I would argue the executive order, Jeff Sessions, mm-hmm. and frankly, I would argue Steve Bannon's presence in the White
House—it's highly problematic.
If you take Steve Bannon out of the equation, I'm already feeling slightly better.
I might throw—I mean, like maybe take Michael Flynn and Stephen Miller with you.
Yeah, sure.
Just
if you could do
a good measure,
a trifecta.
but if you can only take one, let's go Bannon.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he is the evil mastermind right now, and now. Again, we talk about where the value of outrage and the pressure that people put on just through being angry and not liking the president. I think that can have a real effect. Look at already how he is. I think he's about to dump Sean Spicer.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
I think Sean Spicer is about to dump Sean Spicer.
Sean Spicer should dump himself in the
ocean.
He looks
so stressed out. He looks like, why is this my job? I could be... have a nice little office doing spreadsheets somewhere.
Yeah, and I feel zero sympathy for him whatsoever because he put himself in that position.
But, I feel zero sympathy for anybody in the administration right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. But he's being publicly mocked. He's being mocked on Saturday Night Live, and that stuff is bothering the hell out of Trump. And now I think he's going to get dumped. And so I do think, as ridiculous as it is, we're not dealing, as we've clearly stated, with a normal administration here and with normal ways of thinking. And so I do think that there's a value. People have been joking about having Rosie O'Donnell play Steve Bannon on Saturday Night Live since Melissa McCarthy playing Sean Spicer apparently really made Trump upset. So have you heard that? Rosie said she would do it, too.
No.
Yeah, they've been trying to recruit Rosie O'Donnell. Somebody ran a picture of the two of them side by side, and... it's uncanny. Like you put put thick glasses on her and, you know, do the hair different and stuff and she'll look just like him. And as absurd as that sounds, though, I don't care what it takes. Do it. You know, I mean, because this is the kind of stuff that bothers him. So I, you know, that's the sliver where there's a value to people being angry, to people to a certain level of just outright mockery mm-hmm. of the things that they're doing, because he happens to be receptive to that, and that is a pressure point for him. And I think if he thinks all the polls are nonsense, the polls maybe aren't going to get to him. The approval ratings may not get to him, but maybe every time he picks up Twitter and sees that people are, you know, saying Steve Bannon's the one in charge.
Oh, that's got to be.
Yeah, right? You know what I mean. And there isn't one right thing to do here.
Right.
The key
thing. There are many, many things to do, and the long game is important.
Yes. The key things are the contacting lawmakers, are organizing, are putting, you know, real pressure on real people. Those are absolutely the key things, but some of the other things have value too. And so I think people need to find out what they're good at.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to say that, and I know we're running down the clock here, but I think now's not the time to be modest about your skills.
Yeah, no.
If you have, you know, if you are like a writer, if you are, you know, I think if you have special knowledge that is giving you an insight to this, like sit your ass down and write an op-ed right now about this. Mm-hmm. I think flooding editors with op-eds, with insight that are unique and that are, yes, but I, as with this certain, you know, area of expertise, have this to say about this.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've seen a couple of op-eds. I mean, I've worked with a couple of, not more than a couple, I've worked with several people in that capacity. And one of, I found a very interesting take was talking about the abortion issue from a high risk obstetrician, and her take on late term abortion was fascinating. And she took it down in a very interesting and very clinical way that was like, hey, hold up, let's be real about why this happens. Don't even think about restricting that right. And here's why. So I think now's not the time to be modest about your skills. If you are, you know, whatever those skills are, I think it's time to apply them.
Yeah, I thought one of the most inspiring things that we've seen happen over the past couple of weeks has been the lawyers running out to the airports.
Absolutely.
I mean, and staying there and setting up camps and, you know, all this stuff. So, and
absolutely,
that's a perfect example of what you're saying. That's what they're good at. So go do it.
Right.
And everybody else should be thinking along those same lines.
Truly.
What are you good at?
Well, so we shall meet again in a week. Who knows what will have befallen all of us since then, and what we all have pushed back on and what we have applied our skill sets to. But nonetheless, now's not the time to be modest. Now's the time to remember where our boundaries are for what is normal and what is okay. And now is the time to apply our skills and talents to all the things. All the things. This has been Guth and Hupke on Politics. We will see you next time.